On this last weekend in February, we're going to do a little retro. I've got Royce Lovett talking with us at length about his recent experiences and the celebrated chef, Shaq. She's going to be with us in the first hour, so you're going to want to stay tuned as we bring back to you some of these great conversations. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. Merrymaids, call Merrymaids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Good to have you with me, my friend, wherever you may be at the moment. I'm glad that you've taken time to be a part of this conversation. How you doing anyway? You all right? I mean, really, are you okay? Not just, yeah, you know, sure, I'm fine. No, I'm asking, are things going well for you? Not did you have a bad day or good day. I mean, no, I'm talking about, let's look forward over the next 2 or 3 years. What do you anticipate? What's your hope? What do you envision happening? Struggling with finance or health or relationship issues, employment issues? I mean, kind of where are you? You know, if you look back over the last 5 years, is your life kind of, I don't know, up or down or in between? Yeah, I mean, are you finding in yourself greater resolve to find the good things in life, enjoy life? Now, that's kind of what this show's about, you know. We're here to celebrate and examine and report what is the best natural resource we have, the people. Really cool people doing really cool things. That's kind of our mantra around here. And, you know, we try to contribute to that end. We're known for creating stuff that helps people and encourages people and brings them a bit of entertainment and information and all that. I mean, talk about Moose Magnificat. There's a neat idea, if I do say so myself. It wasn't just my idea, okay, so... lots of folks involved in that whole operation, but Moose Magnificat is a streaming radio station. You may be listening to us right now on Moose. And if you're a Moose listener of any report, you know that, yeah, it's celebrating the sound of Tallahassee. Local musicians playing their original songs. That's pretty cool. It's the only station in the market that's doing that. I mean, if you find another one, I'd love to know it, and I'd be delighted to know that other people kind of caught that vision, because my goodness, we're sitting here on a gold mine of musical talent, Tallahassee, bringing you the likes of Royce Lovett, yes, and Danny Bedrosian, not to mention George Clinton, yes. How about Drew Tillman, remarkably talented songwriter, 38 Songwriters Festival. He's the only artist to be invited back seven times. That's coming up, by the way. When's that happen? Coming up in the springtime. Yeah, there you go. New 76ers go on, you know, with all of that. And it's just a remarkable contribution, not only to, let's say, the music scene in general, right, but also a contribution to who we are, our awareness of what makes this community special. Eric Durance is another one of those artists. Highly celebrated, very talented, signed some time ago. Many of you are ED fans. Well, we've got his music there. And then Danny has his own show. Danny Bedrosian does his Danny on Everything that airs monthly. Usually the first, second week of each month. And this is a very engaging, very entertaining format or approach. Yeah, he gets conversations there with folks that talk about all kinds of interesting topics, really across the, you know, spectrum. That's why they calls it Danny on, yes, Everything. So there you go. Happening on Moose Magnificat, where you can easily download the app for your phone, either iPhone or Android, whatever you got. The links are right there. Go to moosemagnificat.com, and then you click on Listen. It brings up that Listen page, and we've already put the buttons there for you, the little links that you can click on. Do this with your phone, right? And then you're going to be able to just add that app to your phone, and you're good to go. Sounds great. There's all kinds of ways that you can be a part of Moose. If you're a patron of Moose, and we've dearly appreciated the support we've gotten thus far, you do so by clicking on the Support Local button, that same website, moosemagnificat.com. Support Local, and for as little as $5 a month, $60 for a whole year. Yeah, now you're going to get the Moose newsletter, Moose News. You're going to know about all the happenings, backstage stories, I guess. Upcoming concerts, all that kind of stuff in that newsletter. And you can go up from there. I mean, you can do $10 a month. And there are various rewards associated with your level of patronage. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And, you know, in keeping with all the other good things that we bring to life, we've got our Tallahassee Family Magazine that is just, it'll kill you dead. It's so good. Just knock your eyes out. That's the work of guys like Dave Barfield and Carl Cerny and, Sarah Cerny and all kinds of great people there, the writers and Joey Edwards, fantastic team. It's crazy good. Tallahassee Family Magazine, it's online for you, tfmmagazine.com, easy way to go. Getting lots and lots of views there, something like 1,000, 1,100 views a day on that beautiful full version, online version of the magazine. Fully interactive. Great stories. Anything that you haven't seen before, it's in print. You've been able to go back in there and see it. Getting ready to publish again, by the way, Tallahassee Family Magazine with the spring edition coming very soon. Lots of changes going on around the market. You know, we lost our distribution point with Lucky's grocery store, and now Earth Fair is closed up. They're closing up nationwide. I don't know if you knew that. But there are other folks that want to carry the magazine, so that'll be fine. And we've got some folks that have subscribed. You can do that if you go to tfmmagazine.com and look for that little button that says, you know, I guess it says subscribe or have it delivered to your doorstep or wherever you may be. We'll do that. We'll mail a copy out there to you. So Tallahassee, doing okay. Lots of great things going on in this here town. And we're grateful to be a part of it. And as I asked you a moment ago, okay, so how are you doing? Think about those things that you're plugged into. Maybe it's some group that you visit with weekly. Maybe it's your church or some other fellowship. Maybe it's a civic organization that you're contributing to. Remember this. In fact, for everything that you give that is of you, okay, whether you're giving in conversation, if you're giving in your support of, financial support of, some activity or group, if you're giving with your time and your talent, those investments, my friend, come back to you 100-fold.
People trust Sellers for better tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Sellers Flooring Advisor Ryan Fitzgerald.
We understand most people don't come in with great knowledge of what they're looking for or what they need. So at Sellers, what we try to do is use our expertise to guide you through the process.
Get Sellers working for you.
We make it easy, and we have the experts on staff to get you where you need to be, and we give you the options.
On Capital Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive, call 656-8453. Online at SellersTile.com. Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Chef Shekafrika Simmons, also known as Chef Shaq, is the mother of three beautiful children who are currently attending college in Tallahassee. She is on assignment in the earth as the owner and creative innovator of Chef Shaq LLC, and it is the parent company for Empowered by Food. We're going to talk with this remarkable creator, culinary artist, TV personality, and the very beloved Tallahassean Chef Shaq. How are you, my friend?
I am doing amazing. Thank you.
It's great to have you here after all of this time.
Yes.
See, my style is I kind of wait for like all the confetti to hit the floor, you know,
yeah.
and the glitter starts to kind of fall off a little bit,
mm-hmm.
here and there, and then I'll just kind of walk up and say, "Hey, you want to talk with me for a little while?
You ready?
I'm ready. You're ready.
I'm ready.
Because you know what, you've been in and around this business, and you've been able to put out for us all." A consistent demonstration of your talents and skills. You know, to your credit, you come in and do this Chopped show on the Food Network, walk away with championship status.
Yes, yes.
Come back to Tallahassee, and then there's still the rent to pay.
Oh, yeah.
Kind
oh,
of thing, right?
God.
So reality comes back and says, yeah,
oh, yeah,
see, I'm still here.
Yeah, slap you in the face.
And that's when I take note of how it is that a person with great talent and notoriety and achievement and all of that comes with that, how do you live your life? Who are the people you go to when, yeah, some of that polish isn't quite there anymore?
Yeah.
And where do you pull from?
Well, I don't have a whole lot of people to go to. So God definitely is where I pull. That's
God
where
is
my
your go-to, yeah.
My strength, that's where my trust is. That's my source. Because just like you said, I left Chopped, a winner. And yeah, I came back home to, you know, delinquency and rent,
yeah.
actually. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was still struggling. You know?
I say this to people, and it's something I heard, of all people, Don Imus say this years ago. He used to say it a lot when he was still on air. And he'd say, you know, I tell people all the time, everybody struggles.
Yeah.
Everybody. And you're sitting there and you think, oh, man, she's just got it all going on.
Yeah.
And all this is coming her way. And if they would just take a moment and think, so she struggles like I do? We're all made
absolutely.
Of the same stuff. Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
You betcha.
Absolutely. We are definitely in the same boat.
And in that boat, we find the opportunity then to encourage each other, I think, because you're not apart from what we all face. How do we go from here to there?
Yeah.
How do we develop relationships that are meaningful? How do we continue to do our best work, whatever that work
right.
may be?
That's right.
Find the motivation,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So you come back from having done this remarkable TV appearance. You come back the winner of this championship,
yes.
right? And now what? And then. How do you get through that struggle?
Oh gosh. Well, I mean, when I came back from Chopped, actually, people don't even know. I came back from Chopped, and probably within a few weeks of that, I had a stroke. And I was ill, and I still had to. I literally got out of the hospital, and I had a catering, and I walked from the hospital to my home, which, was close, and I started working. I just kept going, and I have a business partner, and we, kind of go back and forth, and she's supportive, but we are both in that same situation where, where do you go? Where do you go when you don't feel supported? And when you're at home and you don't feel supported, when you're in your own city that you went and won for, and you don't feel supported.
Right.
So, it's it can break you down.
Can I tell you this? It's a great concern to me, and it's a concern to all of us here in this broadcast and with all of the work that we do on behalf of those who are, let's say, underrepresented, but especially those of us who think that we're the only ones that are struggling, when in fact, it's not that way.
No.
And you know what bothers me, Shaq? It's that the stories that get told, whether it's in a magazine or on television or on the radio, it is so elevated. It is so distant from that everyday reality for all of us. People sit back and go, I can't relate to that. I don't know. I can't be. That is not me.
Right.
And that's almost kind of this storybook view. Yes. But when the vast majority of us in Tallahassee, the people listening to this show right now,
right,
they're sitting there like you and I going, man, I'm 3 months behind on my rent. My kids are sick. I don't have the money for the medication.
Yeah.
My boss is driving me crazy. My car, I keep taking it to the shop. They can't figure out. I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah, it goes
right?
on and on.
It goes on every day. So then you've already started this conversation by saying your go-to is that awareness that God is in you.
Yeah.
Where did that begin? Was that childhood for you?
My parents are ministers, so I'm a kind of a PK kid.
Yeah.
So it's it's been a part of my upbringing and my all my life, all my life. So it's a I wake up every morning 7 a.m. for prayer, and for meditation, and it's what keeps me going. It's what keeps me going.
Well, we're going to keep this conversation going if you're willing to hang in here with me. We've got a little bit more coming up in the next couple of segments to talk about. We'll get into the beautiful layout they did for you in Tallahassee Woman magazine. Well done. Heather Thomas, our friend who wrote that article, and Kira, the photographs are really, really cool. Love the cover, too, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That and a rent check will make you happy.
Oh, absolutely.
It? Yeah, yeah, let's get that.
Yeah, a couple of those.
And
absolutely.
We'll talk to about all of the experiences you had with Food Network and this TV show, Chopped. Folks, you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I've got Chef Shaq here in the studio with me. We're just having a little coffee, having a little conversation.
Conversation.
Talking about real things.
Oh, yeah.
You stay with me.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back, and we're talking with Chef Shaq, who for her contribution to the world of culinary art has been formidable in her own right. Chef, you were saying that you grew up in this just right along with your growing up in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Your relationship with God, God's purpose in your life.
Yeah.
Food was always a part of that, or was it a later discovery? How did that happen?
Oh, God. Food has always been a part. I don't know. Probably since I was an infant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My mom would say that my grandmother would smash together cornbread and collard green pot liquor,
mm-hmm.
and feed it to me when I was little, like baby little. And it just kind of, I guess I just grew into all of that. Food has always been there.
So here you're saying food can lift the spirit. It's not only health for your body, but it can open your mind and your life to endless possibilities and allow you to experience and taste the world as God intended it.
Mm.
What does that look like? What do you believe God intended for any or all of us?
Ooh. Well, I mean, you know, the Bible says, you know, that he wants us to prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. And I feel like food, you know, it can touch your soul. If it's done right and it's done well and it's done with love, it can impact your entire body.
Does it make a difference to you whether you get to be with the people who are enjoying the food you've prepared, or are you just as happy being back there in the kitchen? What part of it is
oh, God. Well, I'm a voyeur.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a voyeur, so I like to see some of that. But definitely, I'm really comfortable in the kitchen, even when I'm a guest. You know, and people are like, oh, no, we're doing this for you. Sit down. And I'm up, and I'm trying to, you know, I'm fixing something, or I'm helping in some way, because that's just a part of who I am. That hospitality is in me, definitely.
I've said it a couple of times, culinary art, and as an art form, it really is a performing art, isn't it?
It is.
And people oftentimes have to, I think, make the mistake of confusing culinary art with, we'll call it the restaurant environment, mm-hmm. restaurateurism.
Sure.
Right?
Yes, all
Very
the time.
Very different sort of process.
Very different. Yeah. Very yeah. different. I mean, my business, we do mostly catering. And it is a different experience. It is, mm-hmm. you know, you have the time to sit and think it out and prepare mm-hmm. it, and you see the different pieces. And in the restaurant setting, it's very fast. You know, you're pushing food out.
Interesting.
So it really is a different experience for the chef for the person who's enjoying the food.
When you look at somebody who is completely unfamiliar with mm-hmm. your world, and they're like, nah, you don't want me in the kitchen, right? Is there hope for that person? I mean, can they come in with zero skills and learn? And
oh, boy.
Or does it take a certain kind of giftedness, do you think?
I just think you got to have, you know, a desire to do it. I can work with desire. You may start in dishes. But I can work with desire because then we
like
can start
washing
building.
The dishes.
Yeah.
Learn how to wash the dishes.
Learn how
never
I did that. That's what I had to do too. I had to wash dishes. You know, even with my skill, I've been cooking since I was 5 years old. So I started, you know, with the egg. But then once they knew I could get on the chair and do all that, dishes was my next responsibility.
There it is.
So you start low.
There's a kind of joy in that too, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
When you understand the fundamentals that go into it. Yeah. For those of us who are maybe less acquainted with your culinary world, and for those of us who would aspire to that greatness, are there certain, I guess, key elements to any good dish, any good recipe that you think have to be there? Is it the seasoning? Is it the oils? You know, is it the mix of salt and sweet? I mean, what makes it work?
It's all those things. It's all those things. If you're talking about something savory, it definitely is going to be the aromatics, those herbs, the spice, the salt level. And then something sweet definitely has to have, you know, of course the sweetness, but then it needs something to cut through the sweet. So maybe a crunch or just something, you know,
texture
creamy.
Is a big
part of that. Texture is always important.
Okay.
In everything. And people don't realize the science behind cooking. It is an art, but it is also very much a science with things, because things have to work together. They have to work together in order to create a beautiful end product.
And you know that by your experience, and now it's sort of intuitive.
Is that right? It is intuitive, definitely.
So I come to you and I go, I think we should do this and this and this. And you might say, yeah, see that?
Yeah.
It's just not going to work. Well, how do you know until you try?
Well,
because
I've done
it for a while and I know.
Yeah. I taste everything before, and not literally, but in my, on my palate,
imagine it.
I can imagine what it's going to taste like.
Gotcha.
And so, so I'd probably be like, I don't know. Those flavors might not work. And I mean, but I won't stop you. Let's do it. We could try.
Well, it's the business that I find most intriguing about those who hold themselves out, let's say, as a musician or a visual artist or a performing artist, a culinary artist, and their heart's in the right place, but man alive, there are certain fundamental skills that have to be a part of that. Apparently, you had enough of that going on that the folks with Chopped said, you know what? We want you to come be on our show.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I was very fortunate to be in the right space, really. I participated in Whole Child Leon's Chopped Junior fundraising event, which is a branded Chopped Junior event. And the executive producer of Chopped and also of Chopped Junior, who's also a Tallahassean, Linda Lee, saw me, met me during the Chopped Junior. We were both judges. And she ask Courtney to say, hey, you know, can you get with her? We want to try to get her on the show.
Yeah.
And so I had to go through pretty much what everyone else has to. Mm. But the good thing is that with her being here, they don't look at Tallahassee. They're not thinking about Tallahassee for Chopped. They're not looking at our chefs, you know. So it gave us an opportunity to be in front and let people see that there is, you know, something significant happening in food in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. And that there are some, it's a few of us who are doing it right.
And it's a remarkable phenomenon when you consider that it hasn't been too long ago that Tallahassee was relegated. And you say, I mean, even now we're struggling to be recognized for who we are. But it has moved forward in performing arts.
Yes.
Right? So Royce comes back from L.A. He's been on The Voice.
Yes.
Our radio station is all about, take a listen. Just give yourself 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Listen to what's happening in this town.
Yeah.
And you're part of that phenomenon. It's this emergence of remarkably talented people who, in my opinion, come to it, I'll say, for the right reasons. because it's not imposed. It's not fake.
Right.
You've brought to us something that was born and bred into you,
yes,
that has been instilled and has been cultivated from your beginnings.
Yes.
So anybody who challenges your sincerity, yeah, well, they're not paying attention because this is the real deal.
Yeah.
And those who we've had here on this show, like you, mm-hmm, bring that same sort of conviction about, wait a minute, wait, this is how it works.
Yeah.
Is Chopped produced locally or in L.A. or Atlanta?
It is actually in New York.
In New York.
So I went to New York. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in New York for a few days with the show. The show is only one day, but I was there for 16 hours working my butt off.
Imagine. In that 16 hours, you're in preparation the whole time, or I guess we've got one more segment here, but we'll get into talking about some of that process.
Okay.
Folks, you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks. I've got Chef Shaq in the studio learning a whole lot about life and love and food and what it means to be a Tallahassean.
Yeah.
Stay with me.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working. Every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, if you've just joined us, we're having some fun here in the studio with this lovely soul, Chef Shaq.
Thank you.
Chef Shaq Simmons, she is.
Yeah.
Chef Africa to her loved ones and family, and she's included me in that circle. So now I feel very special.
Yeah.
Celebrity chef, author, culinary innovator, speaker, entrepreneur. Catering business here in town. You stay pretty busy on that catering business stuff?
I can stand to be a little more busy.
Need to fill
busy.
Up your dance card.
Oh, yeah.
All right, folks, so let's get that done. Holidays are upon us.
They are.
And
upon
we need
us.
To get her booked up.
Ooh,
so
yes.
Get a hold of, how do we get a hold of you if you want to have you cater some soiree we have coming up?
Oh, yeah. So we are definitely everywhere. www.chefshack.com.
Okay.
That's our website.
You
can
that.
Order there. You can come, you can email us, chefshackllc at gmail.com. I'm Chef Shaq on Facebook, The Chef Shaq on Instagram, and Chef Shaq on Twitter.
So, you know what? Not only has she been a part of making something like her own business move forward, you have contributed sizably to others in their efforts, and I'm thinking offhand about some of the people down there at the Heritage Hub in Frenchtown and this remarkable kitchen then that you were instrumental in helping get all that put together.
Sure.
That's an astounding contribution to those who would aspire to their own skill set. They want to train and learn, and that's a professional grade commercial kitchen that's made affordable for somebody to go in there and learn. Or if you want to be a restaurant owner, that's a great place to kind of work that through. Is that fair?
So Kitchen Share actually was kind of developed from a project that I had brought to Tallahassee about a culinary incubator.
Okay.
So they've created a form of that in the Kitchen Share project. And yes, early on, I was definitely a part of the development. I'm not as close to it now, but they are definitely giving opportunities for folks to come in.
It speaks to this point you were making earlier about Tallahassee being recognized for its contributions, right? So here you come as a talented artist in your area. Mm-hmm. Along the way, you're helping to bring others to their purpose in life, contributing as an example with Kitchen Share, and then you continue on.
But
yet that project remains.
Yeah.
And now the challenge is how to get more people plugged in. How are they going to use that facility to advance their own interests and their careers and such?
Yes. They need more people, definitely.
Yeah.
Let's keep those doors open.
All right. So we have a couple of things. We need to make sure we get you booked up for the catering.
Get me booked
season.
Up. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on.
I mean,
can you imagine? I'm hosting an after hours event for my company.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. And I've got Chef Shaq, star status, doing the thing.
Yeah. Doing the thing.
I mean, you're going to have.
Well, now, if you want Chef Shaq, there is an extra cost for me to be there.
Oh, yeah.
But
a talent fee, baby.
Listen, my chefs, they do a great job.
No, I want you. I want the real
I'll definitely have had my hands on it.
I like the fact that you have a card here, and on the flip of the card, I've got a recipe.
Yeah.
This is great. Savory black eyed pea fritters with cilantro cream.
Yes.
Man, and I'm getting hungry. So... And talking about food, why not?
Mm-hmm.
You have your own style, your own form, and right?
My own swag. Yeah.
So you're walking that walk.
Yeah.
Is there a kind of styling that you characterize as Tallahassee? Or is it just another part of the Southern? Or when you think of either regionally... you know, local, because those of us who've lived in Tallahassee or around for a while, man, you know there's some very, very, we'll call it ethnic roots to, whether it's coastal, you know, take a walk down into Wakulla and some of those places.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody told me the bigger the sign on the front with the pig, the better the barbecue.
I need to know all that.
So if you find a restaurant and like that pig is like as big as the building, that is some good eats right there.
Okay, yeah. I'm glad to know that. I didn't know that secret.
That's your tip.
You just let me.
And
okay,
another
awesome.
Sign is if the whole place is enveloped in smoke, like you can't even see through the fog because of the smoke. That's also a very good sign.
Okay, I'm learning now.
Seriously, on that note, then,
how
do you characterize Tallahassee's cuisine or its style?
Ooh.
Is it so diverse that it's hard to find any one direction? Because we like barbecue here.
We like barbecue. We like Southern. I think we could use some more diversity.
Yeah.
I think we're still, you know, when you kind of look at the restaurants that are getting the attention, you know, you have your Mexican restaurants and like El Jalisco's and you have a few Indian, but outside of that, most of our cuisine is American based and Southern based.
And a lot of that
based.
Comes from these larger chains that see us as another dot on the map for them. Yeah.
Right.
So not a whole lot of diversion from there.
Right. So I think we have space. We have space for different types of cuisines, different types of foods, different types of cultures being expressed through the culinary arts. Mm.
You look forward to the rest of this year and into next year. What do you hope for? What's near and dear to your heart? What do you want to see happen for yourself, for your family, for friends? What do you aspire to?
Oh, goodness. That's a great question and kind of, you know, close to my heart right now. I just lost a really close friend while I'm wearing purple today. Here's her funeral is actually happening right now. And so my wish and my hope is for them to have good health, to stay safe. It's scary the amount of human trafficking in our city, in our state, around the country, and it's just so much unexpected that is happening. Children are dying at the fair. You know, it's like All I could pray for, and I pray it every night, is that God keep my family, he keeps my children covered, because I can't always be there to protect them. I can't be there to protect them. My son is in Washington, D.C. at American University. My daughters are out and, you know, living their lives. All my kids are adults. So it is always my prayer for my family, for safety. And I always want them to eat good, though, and all of that. They got to eat good.
Got to be coming back.
They got to eat good.
The fruit of your labors.
That's right.
Well, we'll be right there if you believe me. And we certainly appreciate you being here this morning.
I appreciate
what a blessing
the opportunity.
You are.
Oh, thank you.
To us, to all of us who have followed and continue to follow your career. And like I said, folks, you just need to get them booked up for your holiday event.
Yeah, get us.
So find them online, chefshack.com, simple enough. Lots of ways. They're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that good stuff. So, but chefshack.com will get you there. Our guest this morning, Shakafrica Simmons, also known as Chef Shack. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. It's appreciate it.
It's a blessing. Folks, stay with me. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
July 9, 1755, near Fort Duquesne, now the city of Pittsburgh, a 23-year-old British officer leads his troops in battle during the French and Indian War. Though fired upon repeatedly, this young lieutenant colonel remains unharmed to the disbelief of the native warriors. 15 years later, a respected chief sat over a council fire with this same man. As he told all those listening, the Great Spirit protects this man and guides his destiny. He will become the chief of nations, and a people yet unborn will hail him as the founder of a mighty empire. The man was George Washington, who went on to become the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army and the first president of the United States. Celebrating our nation's quest for freedom and honoring all those who serve, our military, law enforcement, and first responders, from Dr. Eve James at Southern Smiles Family Dentistry in Quincy, 875-3908, and Sellers Tile on Capitol Circle Northeast, call 656-8455.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, available online all the time. Go to TallahasseeTalks.com and you will find all of the shows there archived for you. Get a view of what's up ahead for that particular week. You can go to this week link on the site. You see, you know, little background description of our guests. I've got Royce Lovett here in this hour as an example of one of those guests, as we celebrate not only his talents and his career, his contributions as a fine representative of Tallahassee's music scene and this community at large. He's at the same time a fine representation of what we think of when we talk about Black History Month here in Florida, in the month of February. And this being that last weekend in February, where we've had opportunity through the various weeks before us to bring to the mic people who are at work helping us better appreciate the contributions of African Americans. And I prefer to say that it really is our History Month, with a special focus on, a special appreciation of what it means when we talk about Black Americans. What does it mean when we talk about the history of African Americans in our time, in this country, in our history as a nation, and in this community? A remarkable amount of transformation, a change that you just don't often see in world history. When you have a race of people that are oppressed and pushed aside or imprisoned or enslaved, the turnaround just doesn't happen. Go back, and I'm talking ancient history as well as modern history. Right. So here we have in our American history, this last couple of centuries, a remarkable amount of change. And it's probably somewhere in that process, maybe at a halfway point, maybe better, in terms of recognizing the value and contributions of Black Americans, in terms of us recognizing our value as a nation. When you sum up all that we bring together in science, in education, in athletics, in performing arts, in visual art, in government, the fact that we have found ourselves locking arms, we have found ourselves better allied in a direction that continues to encourage individual liberty and freedom, where our determination for freedom, our quest for freedom, is absolute. Our reliance on individual responsibility, our willingness to agree to a collective good, but in a manner that is representative of the will of the people. So if we are, in fact, a government of, for, and by the people, we are a society in which those people then are best represented by an elected official, somebody who we say, this is that individual who best represents our interests as a community. And the genius of that is that you can have representation right down to your individual, your particular part of the country. Right. And that's what's considered then a republic. Here we have this democratic republic in which those ideas and wishes and dreams, those aspirations from all Americans, regardless of, right? Race, color, creed, even region. I find a disparaging sort of bias about North versus South, East versus West, urban versus rural. Yeah. Well, if you care to, sure, you can sort of lean over that way and remain in your little world of stereotypic thinking. I mean, I grew up in the Seattle area, so in the last 40 years, yes, I've heard the whole damn Yankee thing more than once. Get that. But Seattle's not really the typical Yankee kind of profile. It's Northwesterners, we'll say, are a bit different. We're, for one thing, our skin wrinkles a lot because we're used to being in the rain all the time. Okay, that was the joke. But in fact, I think growing up in the Seattle area, we're a cosmopolitan. Not just urban, but there was a kind of vibe that was the sense of collective, the cross-cultural elements up there are remarkable, at least they were 40 years ago. These days, I'm not so much sure anymore, but all I'm trying to say is when I got to Tallahassee, I found that, there was a kind of predisposition. And there were a lot of places where my ideas were not particularly welcome, that they were comfortable, whether it was a civic group or whatever I was in front of, people that just, this is our way of doing things. I just remember this woman who was a pastor's wife. I was on staff with a little Baptist church there on the south end of town. And they had hired me to do all of their music and their youth counseling, youth work and stuff. And she looked at me on occasion. She's, you have to remember, these are Southside people. I thought, okay, there we go. Southside people. I didn't know how to accommodate whatever that meant, whatever Southside people were all about. So I kind of just took one person at a time. And what I discovered is that they weren't that much different than me, first of all, except my hair was a little longer in those days. And, but we kind of read from the same playbook when it came to what's important in life, and that being the things you do for one another, the things that you do for others that you would have them do for you. There's a golden rule. Yeah. I mean, that didn't change. And, yeah, all the rest of it, okay, so you like to wear blue jeans and I'm wearing khakis. If that's as much as divides us, I think we're going to be okay. Now, when it comes to racial prejudice or rejection of someone based on their, I don't know, their hometown, the region of their origin, or their political views, if you're going to reject somebody because they voted for the person that you hate, okay, or they espouse an idea that you think is deplorable, okay, I think that you're the lesser. I think that you lose out on that deal. I really like the idea that so many of my friends disagree with me so deeply on so many different topics, and some in my own family. What a healthy situation to be in, right? Because if we don't need anything else in life, we need somebody to challenge us, challenge our thinking, challenge our way of doing things. You know why? Because it reminds us that we're still alive, we're still able to learn, and we're still able to do more than we thought we might have been able to do before all of that happened. It means we can do better for ourselves and for one another.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
If you are familiar with this broadcast, you know that it is our pleasure to bring to you people who represent some of the more challenging parts of life, some who represent to us some of the more celebrated parts of this community, some who are involved in science, some in art, entertainment, music. Some of them are business people, social service providers, community leaders, and local government officials. Pretty wide variety, we would say. Try to be sensitive to all that Tallahassee brings to the world. And it's no less true here in this moment when I welcome to our broadcast Royce Lovett. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Good morning. Thanks so much.
I appreciate the fact that after what has been the last several months have been a bit of a whirlwind, right?
Yes, it has.
Here you are back home, sitting here with the moose, just kind of hanging.
Yes.
And I really want to just turn off my mic and just let you share with us everything that's just rolling through your head right now.
Yeah, man. It's always a blessing to be up here with you. Even before we hit record, the conversation is always encouraging and enlightening. So I am excited about what we're going to talk about. What's up, everybody? Thanks for listening.
See, that's what we love about you. You're always giving a little shout out to the peeps.
Yes.
And I think when I, at least I appreciate that. I like the fact that you kind of look our way, and there's always been that sense about you that you know you're connected. You're an extension of a family, a community. Does that Is that intentional or is it just happen? I mean, just do you kind of tell yourself, okay, remember where you come from? Or is that just kind of how you're wired?
I think that's how I'm wired. I come from a big family here in Tallahassee, and I think possibly that has something to do with it. But on top of that, I think my love for the goodness that music and melody and rhyme can do for the soul and do for the community, just bringing folks together, makes me just want to be more connected. I feel like when I'm more connected, I'm closer to the stories, right. I'm closer to the people. And, you know, there's more to life than, well, let me say this. There's more to music and rhyme than music and rhyme. It's the story behind it. It's being connected. Maybe a song can push past some guard that someone has up. And then because I'm there in front of them, we can talk about something really interesting.
So the music has its own motivation and its own reason to exist, but you're also saying then it can be a pathway to something
completely
deeper,
the catalyst, the catalyst, the pathway. I think I just love it. Like I was at Cook County Detention Center, the largest detention center in America, in Chicago. And you know, you see it often inside detention centers or rehabs or things like that, where folks come in pretty guarded. You don't know what's going on at the center. You don't know what's going on in their families. You don't know what's going on. And then I can pick up the guitar and sing a song, and you see some folks loosen up a little bit. And then I can go from singing to spitting some bars, and you see everyone loosen up. I feel like hip hop and soul music has a way of making people be like, well, an easier way to say it is just a way of connecting, connecting some dots. And then once those dots are connected, then we can put down the guitar and we can talk. And that's when like real connection happens. I think music is definitely a catalyst. I think, but the catalyst for connection, because once you have that connection with somebody, then a love kind of transcends each other, goes between each other and encourages them, and maybe for just that moment, you know, because you don't know where they're going to go after that connection is made. But for that moment, that's all you can do. That's what we're here for, you know. I love it when I go to Chick-fil-A and they say my pleasure or thank you. Just that moment of connection that makes them different than Burger King, you know what I mean.
This is cool. So we've already got product endorsement things going on here. Man, I love your style. I have to tell you, man. Wait a minute. I think Chick-fil-A's on the phone. Let me get that for you.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
Interesting that you come to that point talking about what motivates you, how it is that you see yourself as this songster, this performer, musician, all that that means professionally. And yet for you, it's real simple. For you, it's just this reaching out, taking hold of somebody's hand, and that's your entree because you're looking for something more.
Exactly. You know, this might sound like a downer, but I read just on a quick meme somewhere, it said that only thing that's written on your tombstone is if you are a good parent or a good spouse. It has nothing to do with the records you sold, has nothing to do with the books you sold or how much money you made your company. And I think the way that you become a better husband or a wife or a better father or a better mother is by showing love and connecting just regardless of who that person is.
So here lies beloved husband and father. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You stop and think about it. How many times you've looked at
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't talk about he was the CEO of gold record, you know,
It's husband, father, and possibly something to do with the community.
Yeah.
And I think that those are the things that only matter is family, and family are people. And if we're living in the same city, the same community, neighbors, we see each other's faces, we're family. You know, mm-hmm. I called someone brother today that I didn't even know. He dropped his wallet. But hey, mm-hmm. brother, you dropped your wallet. Mm-hmm. You know.
For you, then, it's just a place of living. It's a place. It's a point of departure.
Yeah.
You are in that, and everything else kind of extends beyond to say, hey, this is who I am, and that makes you, mm-hmm. that makes you my brother because
exactly.
I say so.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Royce Lovett's with us after what has been this remarkable journey, this portion of his journey in the last few months. We're going to get into some of the details about the voice and all that that brought into his life. And folks, you stay with me. I'll try to pull myself together. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Royce Lovett, who has graciously agreed to take just a few minutes out of what has otherwise been a pretty demanding schedule of late. Feels good to be home?
It does. It always does.
You have such a beautiful family. You know that a lot of people were saying, oh, yeah, I really dig his music, but I love his family.
Yes.
Right.
My wife, she was really digging the comments. It was like, there was a few comments in there. It was like, you can timestamp on YouTube. So once the footage got to YouTube, you would read some comments and it would say, yeah, his voice was dope, but can we talk about his wife? Timestamp. Boom. Hashtag you're welcome.
I mean,
yeah.
And that baby of yours.
Yes,
oh my
man.
Goodness. Couldn't we just put him up there and say,
yes.
Come on, man. Who are you going to vote for?
Exactly. We would have won already. We would have won already.
I mean, you got to be so grateful for such a beautiful, beautiful family.
I am, man. That was quite a day.
Yeah,
that was quite a day. Just thinking about that day and thinking about them coming definitely brings back these really awesome memories and lessons that I was learning during this time mm-hmm. of recording and being sequestrian. And
you had, take us through that. The just the timeline from start. How did it come about? How did you make the connection with the folks that produced the show?
A quick timeline is they wrote me a few times, twice actually, 2017 and 18, and I thought it was a scam, so I never opened the emails.
and you know, well advised, because my God, you know, we get all of that.
Yes. Man, and so coming back from the TED Talk, what we were talking about earlier, maybe we'll talk about that again, but coming back from the TED Talk, my wife had my phone, got an email. She said, let me see if this is real. So she investigated it and it was real. So they flew me out to LA. I met some pretty cool producers, had some good conversation. And they were like, hey, so you want you to do this? So I performed a song. You know, there's quite a few. Everyone's experience with vocal competition shows are quite different.
Yeah.
Because they open up auditions all over the world. And those folks that go to like the storefront audition probably have to go through another 7 auditions before they can make it to camera.
Wow.
'Cause there's so many people that they have to kind of dwindle down and find exactly what they're looking for. And just to be like, wow, I gotta like almost like a invitation of like, we see you, Please come.
So that cut through the
yeah,
and the layers.
So getting there, first time actually having some vocal lessons, and being around just an enormous number of people, because people get sent home every day for different reasons, the story, the vocal, the whatever.
So the daily schedule, you get there, you get kind of checked in, and the daily schedule sounds pretty
intense. It hits off really hard.
Demanding.
There is some days of downtime, which I think that those days of downtime are meant to kind of build that anxiety a little bit. But that's just my thought. That's just Royce Lovett's thoughts.
But that's how it works.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're sitting back going, okay, come on, man.
Yeah, what's happening? Come on, let's make this. But it was pretty intense. You know, lots of meetings, lots of legal, because we're dealing with a huge TV production. Lots of lessons. They've been doing this for 17 years successfully. So just to see some of the things you had to do made you understand that, wow. So they've done the research. For instance, there was some counseling that you would go through different steps just to make sure that you're mentally prepared for these different things, mentally prepared for the pressure and different things like that.
Wow.
So I just came away.
Don't need you freaking out on stage.
Exactly.
Man.
Exactly. So I just came away feeling so grateful. Because the life and the path that I think God has led me down has definitely, I think, made me prepared not to fall into anxiousness or just anything that kind of comes along with that. Because I feel like when you're anxious, you lose your gratefulness.
Can I say this to you?
Yes.
You and I have known each other a little while. Don't know each other as well as, you know, real close friends and family, of course. But you're not the same man.
No.
And I'll say that in a way that is, in my view, very positive. Because I notice about you a kind of centeredness, a quietness, a seriousness, and a resolve even. Call that peace. Mm-hmm. There's a peace about you. That in contrast to the Royce that I met a couple of years ago, where there was a lot of anxiety, and circumstantially you had a lot to be anxious about, understand. But it's not circumstantial, is it?
I learned something. I definitely learned something. There is a moment walking out there, that stage. I knew my family was watching in one room on the screen, and I was in this tunnel. And I was reconsidering, why am I here? I was reconsidering tons of things. We could talk about those another time, I guess, because there's a long list of just reconsidering.
Stuff racing through your head.
Yeah. And something came to me and spoke to me. It had to be God. It was just, remember this moment. And I've never done anything like this before. And so I was like, how in the world do I remember this moment? And so I just started doing some things that I thought were practical. So I touched the wall to see the temperature. And I was like, all right. I'm gonna remember the temperature of this
wall.
Because I might go home. I might get a chair. I might not get a chair. I don't know what's gonna happen. This is weird. Yeah. I've never done something like this.
Trying to connect with.
So then I counted the lights, or four lights above my head. The wall was like not too cold, but just a good temperature. I counted the lights above my head. There were four. Then there was rows of people, and I counted five rows of people down from where I could see. So I did that, and just something fell over me, and I just started being so grateful that my mom got to come get on the airplane the first time in, what is that, like 20 years? And fly to L.A. She's never been to L.A. before, and we had a great time afterwards. That my sons were and my wife were here. Beautifully smiling, having a great time, experiencing something that a lot of folks that I've seen during this process fall off about. And I just immediately became grateful. I could have went home and been just as happy that instant. The show could have said, hey, we canceled. You know what I mean? And I didn't even have to play. It could have been anything. And just this peace kind of fell over me. I walked on stage feeling like Royce Lovett. Before I walked out of that tunnel and I remembered the moment, quote unquote, I didn't feel like Royce Lovett. I felt that it was just different. It just, you know, lots of doubt, lots of fear, lots of different things going on. And we can, you know, like I said, you know, there's other things that happened in my life at the time. I'm just wondering with this uncertainty of like, I thought I was doing everything right. What's going on? You know, something happened while I was there. The, you know, from stories. And I can't just say everything happened at that moment. I think that whole year from what happened with the TED Talks, from what happened with people responding to certain music, from different connections that I've made. And some friends that I have from you, like different shows and learning things from my wife, financially being able to get a house, like so many things God taught me through this year. And I'm just so grateful. Like 2020 is going to be amazing.
That's huge, man. We're talking with Royce Lovett. And if you've just joined us, you're going to need to make sure you come back once we've archived this show. Because you really need to hear the whole thing. We're learning life lessons here from a young man who has already lived a lot of life. And I won't even take time at the moment. I could read off some of his achievements professionally. But what you need to know is that Royce Lovett loves God, loves his family, and he loves us. We'll be right back.
People trust Sellers for better tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Sellers Flooring Advisor Ryan Fitzgerald.
We understand most people don't come in with great knowledge of what they're looking for or what they need. So at Sellers, what we try to do is use our expertise to guide you through the process.
Get Sellers working for you.
We make it easy, and we have the experts on staff to get you where you need to be, and we give you the options.
On Capital Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive, call 656-8453. Online at SellersTile.com.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Royce Lovett. Not having gotten a lot of coaching and training, it's all very natural for you. Mm-hmm. You go out there on the voice thing, and now you're being coached to perform in a certain way for television. Did it feel awkward for you, or was it just all cool? I mean,
well, because I know the side of production and what the stage production, the show production, the light production, the music production, they all have a goal to work together and produce something for the person sitting through the camera on the couch. And because I understand that, I wasn't, it didn't feel awkward to me.
Okay.
There was only one thing I wanted to make sure I was doing correctly, and I wanted to make sure that I was shining a light for dreadheads, but not just dreadheads, but people of color. You know, you see, sometimes you'll watch something and you'll say, hey, I don't like the way that was produced and showed, showed my kinfolk, you know? That was the only thing that I was very vocal about when I wanted something to just be when I wanted genuine. To make sure it was genuine, you know. So I knew my goal was to gather and Pied Piper some fans away, you know, and bring them to what Royce does. And so I was very grateful from everyone that was like that reggae guy on The Voice. Those that came over to experience the soul and the hip hop and the singer songwriter of the music, you know, just every single part of it was definitely a lesson, from fashion to the stage to the thing we just talked about with just awareness and not being anxious for anything and being grateful 24/7, you know.
You have said this: when listeners hear my songs, I hope they walk away feeling heroic.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Heroic. Do you remember when you were a kid and like for me, like Indian in the Cupboard was my hero. I know that sounds funny, but like I would put on.
You're a weird dude, yeah. So it's okay, man. We get it.
I would take my shirt off and I would put on, I would get a belt and I would tie two paper towels to the front and the back of me. And I'll run around outside.
There's a picture I'm going to have to work out through the day.
And my imagination is just out there. I'm crazy. I'm fighting cowboys and grabbing bears and saving the people. But there's that feeling of nothing can stop me.
Wow.
I'm not, being a hero is one thing because you can label that to different things. Mm-hmm. But the feeling of being heroic in that moment, mm-hmm. like heroic is a mm-hmm. moment
powerful.
Feeling. It's a powerful mm-hmm. and it's a moment feeling. I'll give you one more example. I am... Picture me 10 years old. Hmm. I have a 7-year-old nephew. And he's riding the bike down the hill. He's coming down the hill. He sees this dog, this huge Great Dane, and it jumps over the fence. Now, this is vivid from my imagination. It's not from my imagination. Sorry. This is memory.
From your memory.
Great Dane jumps over the fence. He's running my nephew down. Uh-oh. And I see this probably like 2 football fields away. And so he's yelling, screaming. I run off the porch directly to this dog with the mindset of I'm going to tackle this dog and save my 7-year-old nephew. And I'm 10.
And probably smaller than the dog.
Exactly. Yeah. But just that feeling of that moment that I'm heroic and I can save and I can protect and I can love and I can shelter the generation before me, the generation after me, or my generation. That's the way I want people to feel.
When that happens, you will say this: music doesn't change people. That comes from within. I don't think that music can push them over the edge. It'd be amazing if I can help do that.
Like I said, I think music can help you find those things and get you to the edge of that cliff.
Yeah.
But only you can jump off that cliff. Okay. I don't think music can change what's
you have
what's
to make
happening.
That call.
You have to make that call.
And I gathered from your earlier comments about the voice experience that there was some thought, maybe I shouldn't do this, right? Or maybe...
Definitely.
Not for me kind of feeling?
Yeah, it was... Am I selling out? Is this the right move? What would my fans think? What if I lose? Just all these doubtful things. Uh-huh. Instead of being so excited that they called me. Like, that's exciting by itself.
Yeah.
Exciting that I'll be on one episode. You know what I mean? Those just...
In that closing moment, Blake Shelton says, you know, I really like your music and so forth, but I don't know exactly who you are.
Mm-hmm.
How did that strike you?
It wasn't, to be honest with you, shocking because I kind of knew what was happening as far as like every single song I was singing on the show was a form of reggae.
So for you, you were in touch with the fact that, okay, I'm doing this for you guys, mm-hmm. but this is not necessarily all that I'm about.
Completely.
Yeah.
With lots of artists or singers from my peers on the show, a lot of them were definitely in lanes of music that were opposite or a complementary to what they were doing on the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that they definitely, as promoters, it was their job to not necessarily tell the story of the music, but tell the story of the life of the artist.
Yeah.
And then gather songs that people knew worldwide.
Indeed.
Top 40 pop songs
that
will make sure that nobody's left out when you're singing them.
Yeah.
You know? Which is one reason I was very surprised they had me do 911 by Wyclef.
Yeah.
A lot of folks didn't know who that song was by or who that song was.
Interesting.
And so it was a really good moment.
You're back home. What's happening now? What's up ahead?
Well, you know, holidays are here, so I'm excited about that.
So you're chilling.
I am chilling. I am not chilled completely, though. You know, I got new music coming January 11th. with the taste of that vibe that folks were digging so much from The Voice, is the song is called Good Morning. And I just some really cool things happening that I have to prepare for now before the holidays all the way set in.
Okay.
So I am home and
feeling good.
I'm feeling really good. I am learning more than ever time management.
Yeah.
Because yes, because more than anything else, you know, I want to spend time with my family. You know, I was asked by the booking company, hey, you know, we could do
yada yada
this and this, and I was like, you know, if I could get, you know, 150 shows a year, that'd be just fine. Like, I'm not really trying to do the 360 shows a year. I know folks that do that.
Me too.
And because I want to spend time with my boys.
It's rough, man.
And I think that that's the most important for me.
That's where you started in this conversation, talking about what it means, what they will remember about us when they finally lay us to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting conversation, my friend. Will you do me a favor?
Yes.
When you get ready to release that music in January, come back and talk with me about it.
I will.
Maybe bring us some tunes.
I will. I most definitely will. I most definitely will. When we get off, I'll let you hear the demo.
I appreciate you, my brother. Royce Lovett, everybody. This is what we do here, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio here in Tallahassee. You'll find us at moosemagnificat.com, streaming radio from Tallahassee to the world, playing all local musicians, their original songs all the time, including the music of Royce Lovett. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.